might say, boy, beautiful day. I don't think it's supposed to rain today. No one ever has trouble talking about the weather. Boy, isn't it wonderful to be saved? Are you saved?
Again?
Show, tell us, what do you do, John? Give us one of your one-liners. I had to put him on the spot, yeah, but he's got a million out.
Come on, Charlie.
Well, I tried to become a friend with him in the first minute. And then I asked him, are you interested in history? Are you interested in...
In other words, don't slap them, punch them, spit on them, you know, be nice to them.
So I find out what they're thinking, then I use that as the hook to go to the gospel.
Yeah. And, you know, the wrong way to do it?
Not doing it.
Yeah. Some of you say, well, that wouldn't work for me. Well, what works for you? If it's not illegal and not against the scripture, there's no wrong way of doing it. Doug?
Be a friend with a friend. It's kind of like when I talk to people, it's kind of like when people see a movie and they say, well, this movie's really great or something like that. And then they'll talk about it. For me, I'm talking about what the Lord's done.
Proverbs says if you want to have a friend, you have to first be friendly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Joe?
We knew a guy at this one church who would look at him and say, if you're not saved, you're a bastard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey. Man won more.
It's not illegal and it's not against Scripture, so have at it.
He had it.
Yeah, but they passed your band and were committed with 16.
Yeah. Another point I want to make before we move on, though, is do what we're talking about, but that doesn't have anything to do with saving you. You're not doing this to be saved. You're saved not by good works. You're saved unto good works.
Amen.
And it's a review for some of you, but I want you to turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 2. We've done this three or four months ago, and I want to do it again. Ephesians 2. Very well-known Bible verses, beginning verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And people stop there, and that's fine a lot of times, but read verse 10, if you're there, read verse 10 with me. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I have people all the time say, oh, you Baptists and you dispensationalists, you people, you don't believe in works. And I say, you know, we believe in works. We just don't think you should think it has anything to do with saving you. You are saved by faith, not of works.
Amen.
And once you get that backwards, you got it completely 100% wrong. We're rewarded in the here and now, by the way, and in the coming kingdom age. Some people only think of rewards in the flesh right here and now. If you're a spirit-filled Christian, you're just as concerned about what's coming, not just what you can get out of God right now. In Revelation 1, turn there if you can. Last book of the Bible, should be easy to find. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, begins, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. See, your salvation is by works. Jesus' works.
Amen.
Not yours.
Amen.
And then what happens? Read verses 6 and 7 with me. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So just want to be clear, we're talking about this is a reward that's in his return. The church being raptured. And those who are raptured and resurrected and then saved at the end of the tribulation, all are given reward. And it says those who are already saved now are included with those who are saved when he returns. We are made kings and priests. You ever think about, I'm not telling you to go walk around telling everybody, I'm a king. Bow to me. My golden scepter, you know, nothing like that. But in reality, We have that in our future, to rule as kings under the King of Kings.
Amen.
Then verse 44 says, "Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath." Jesus is telling you what we just read. He will make him, those who have been saved, overcomers, washed in his blood, he will make him ruler over all that he hath. It's not just big talk. We're told this about our future in the kingdom in 2 Timothy 2:12, just one of many places. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him.
Amen.
So anytime you feel like the world's coming down on you or poor me, you start having a pity party or whatever, remember that's not how a king should act. If you believe God's word, you know there's coming a time you're going to reign with him.
Amen.
So let him bring it on.
Amen.
And then verse 45, 46. "But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunk." You say, well, what kind of professional Christian would do that? I'll tell you. Denominations.
Amen.
The Roman Catholic Church. The Eastern Orthodox churches. Various cults. They have put off the second coming. They hardly ever talk about it. They don't preach about it. They don't sing about it. They don't talk about it. You ask the typical person in the mainline denomination, they're not even thinking about Jesus coming. What are they thinking about? Building a kingdom on this earth. And what do? What Jesus said. They begin to beat. You know who's persecuted more Christians than... There's only one group that's persecuted more Christians, possibly, because the numbers are kind of in the air, than the Roman Catholic Church, is the communists.
Yeah.
Other than the communists, the Roman Catholic Church, through the Inquisitions, has persecuted, imprisoned, tortured, and killed more professing Christians than any other organization on the earth, and running a close second is Islam, another religion. Well, they throw the Bible out. They don't even believe in the right Jesus. Their Isa is not even the real Jesus. So when you get away from God's word and stop looking toward the kingdom to come, you become a kingdom builder. And kingdom builders are bloody killers.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen.
It's a hard truth, but the Lord's delay has exposed many frauds. Not just the big denominations, but even some of our loved ones. Yes. Scripture with Scripture. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and verse 19. 18 and 19. I'll read 18. It says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." We talked about this before. It's been 2,000 years, but in God's time it's been 2 days. Now read verse 19 with me. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." So you see these people who end up turning on Christians, trying to overpower them and rule over them, and they abuse others, whether it's a big denomination or just some person you know. They're exposing the fact that they're lacking the Spirit of God.
Amen.
There's something wrong with their spirit. There's something wrong with their profession. So back to Luke 12, and we close with verses 47, 48. "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." That sounds scary.
Yes.
Verse 48, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." I believe this speaks of justice at judgment and not literally having people beaten at the judgment. I could be wrong. Don't risk it. I mean, seriously, I don't believe there's going to be that kind of literal... I say this because some do teach this. They teach there'll be literal beatings at the judgment. But I believe that Jesus is speaking in terms of parable here. And so he's using stripes in a in the sense of a parable, not in a literal sense. We're given the literal explanation by Paul, if you want to turn there real quick, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're told the literal explanation of what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ, beginning in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest. And it doesn't say, and he'll be beaten or anything like that. You know. It says, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And it's not burning the person. It's not purgatory. And the fire shall try every man's what?
Works.
See, the fire is testing the work, not the person, of what sort it is. And read verses 14, 15 with me. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So that's why I don't believe there's going to be literal beatings. But if I'm wrong and, you know, the Lord beats one of you, you look at me, I'm just going to say. But I feel very confident in my position. So Paul also taught that when we observe the Lord's Supper, we are to be reminded of what we're talking about this morning. Have you thought of that? When you take the Lord's Supper. Yes, it is to remind us that he died on the cross. His body was broken. He shed his blood. Yes, that's all true. But look at what Paul says. I should have told you to stay in 1 Corinthians. And turn over to chapter 11. 1 Corinthians.
I'm sorry, Jenny. Can we get this?
It's right there.
Heart just skipped a beat. I didn't see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. My wife is so good to me. I totally forgot about getting that stuff up here. Verse 23 through 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. What's the rest of the verse say? This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, what? In remembrance of me. Now listen, some people lose track of that and they just think it's just about the death of Christ on the cross. Read verse 26 with me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We do not have a Savior who came and died for us, and that's the end.
Yeah.
And so when we take communion, we're reminded that he died and shed his blood to pay for our sins. But this Savior isn't still dead. Having risen, he ascended, Acts chapter 1, and promised to return and to receive you unto himself.
Amen.
And so when we take that communion, we're not remembering the dead. We're remembering the death of our risen Savior, who is alive and is coming again.
Thank you. right when he